Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. It's your man Jay Hicks here, the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. We got a very special podcast this evening. I know it's been a little while since I talked to y'all, and I apologize for that. I was going through some personal stuff, man. I lost one of my homies this past week. Really unfortunate, tragic event. And so I had to come back to my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. And you know what I'm saying? It's been a rough week on us, man. But I want to make sure that I made it known that this podcast was dedicated to my man, Rayshon Bailey. We love you, man. And I'll see you on the other side for sure. But we do have a special podcast this evening. Because I was able to come home, I was able to link up with some very close family and friends. And, you know, we're going to talk about sports and hip-hop music, which is what we do here on the podcast. So, again, it's Jay Hicks here. I got three special guests I'm going to introduce to you momentarily. If you're not familiar with the podcast, thank you for listening this time around. You can check us on iTunes at Hip Hop Sports Report. You can do a search there, find the podcast on iTunes there. Also, you can hit up the website, hiphopsportsreport.com. Check out the website for latest content on sports and hip hop music. You know what I'm saying? We're going to stick more so to the sports side this time around, simply because there's a lot to talk about specifically in Cleveland, Ohio, which is, again, is where I'm from. And Cleveland is like the epicenter of the sports universe right now. I wouldn't have thought I would have said that maybe 3 weeks ago, but here we are, you know? And so we're going to stick to that. We're going to get into basketball. We might get into a little football, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And this is a very special podcast because this is the first ever live edition with live guests here in the studio. So I don't know how the sound is actually going to play out just yet. You know, if the sound doesn't quite, you know, I'm going to have to do some tinkering with the editing and stuff like that. So it's gonna be fresh. So don't worry about that. But I'm just saying, if it's not, you know, don't hold it against me too bad. You know, it's the first try, you know. So but we'll get it started right now. First guest I want to introduce, I want to bring back for his second appearance on the podcast, my man Mark Hicks. My cousin, he was on the podcast most recently discussing the NFL draft, and he debuted his mock draft instead of a mock draft, because mock drafts are corny, you know what I'm saying? So we had to go with the mock draft. I can't even get it out sometimes, you know, but that's pretty much what it was. I also got my man Royce here in the building. He's going to be holding it down for us. And my boy Vince, one of the more interesting individuals I've ever met when it comes to talking sports. And so I know between these three guys, y'all going to be entertained this evening. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it, y'all. I think we're going to start with the draft lottery, because a lot of people was pissed off about the draft lottery. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people was salty about the draft lottery. And
Bill Simmons was.
Yeah, Bill Simmons was definitely salty about the draft lottery, man. I mean, in his whole... I didn't really understand any of the angst that people had about the Cavaliers winning three out of the last 4 years. Now, in full disclosure, you know, I grew up a Cavs fan and all that, so I understand why you might look at that and say outwardly, like, well, of course he's in favor of the Cavs winning three out of 4 years. But my thing was, my initial takeaway was, how could it be rigged? Like, number one, there's no reason for the league to rig the lottery for the Cavs.
Cleveland.
Right. Why would they rig the lottery for Cleveland? That's the first thing. Second thing was, you know, the fact that this even happened, the fact that they can hit the lottery with a 1.7% chance this year, with a 15% chance last year, and with a 2.1% chance or whatever it was 2 years before that. That, to me, that's the definition of it's random. Completely random. It's, yeah, so there is no, you know, it's not rigged. I mean, I know y'all want to say it's rigged. I know it sounds funny and cool to say that it's rigged. And, you know,
looking for the folded card like they did with Patrick Ewing back in '85.
They looking for the frozen envelope. You know what I'm saying?
This ain't '85. Yeah. The ping pong balls. If it was rigged, I'd be a billionaire right now, because I'd get the Mega Millions in the Powerball.
Yeah, exactly.
So, every Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday and Saturday.
Right. You know what I mean? So you got guys like Mark said, man, you got guys like Bill Simmons, you know what I'm saying, talking about how the lottery is fixed, or we need a new system because the Celtics didn't win it or whatever. I'm like, man, whatever. So that's the first thing. So Cavaliers win the lottery, of course. Number one pick in the draft. And in this draft, as you know, if you follow the site, we've talked about this year's draft class. It's one of the most highly touted draft classes in probably 10 or 11 years, yeah, probably, yeah, since the LeBron class.
Yeah.
LeBron, Carmelo, Wade, Chris Bosh class of 03.
So, Darko Milicic.
The Darko class.
The Darko.
Also known as
the Darko draft.
Also known as the Darko Kirk Heinrich draft.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, so, yeah. No disrespect to Kirk Heinrich. He's actually a serviceable player, but that's neither here nor there. So yeah, so there's been a lot of discussion, obviously, right out the gate as far as what the Cavaliers need to do with this pick. We all follow the Cavaliers here. There's a lot of different ways that can go. There's three guys that are head and shoulders or appear to be head and shoulders above everybody else in the picture. But then you have this element of a trade that's highly possible as well. So what do y'all think we should do with this pick?
Actually, I was out yesterday talking to my cousin, and he is stuck on Jabari Parker. This is Jabari Parker, and Jabari Parker is the world, and Jabari Parker is that. And college players in general, and Jabari Parker maybe in specific, I'm not real sold on. You know what I'm saying? That's just like the draft, the NBA and the NCAA is two different leagues. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't, to me, dominate. I mean, dominate, like...
Jabari averaged 23 a game, though. That's not dominating in college. That's like 30 a game in the NBA.
Man. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. Like, they must have been quiet points. You know, like, you know how you look at sometimes, like, yeah. He got 18, I get 18. You know what I'm saying? But, like
D-Wade now.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
We'll talk about Dwayne Wade a little bit.
Exactly. But, you know, like I said... Everybody wants to start young and build from youth, and I understand that, and I do understand that, but I have yet to see an NBA team win a championship without any kind of solid veteran leadership, and I'm not talking about role players. I'm not talking about CJ Miles or Jerry Jack. They don't win NBA championships. They don't do it. They help, but they don't win any NBA championship. I mean, look, if you look at the last however many championships you had, it's LeBron's team, you know what I'm saying? You got your Tim Duncan's, you got your Dirks, you got your Hall of Fame caliber players. I mean, you got teams like the Pistons with Rasheed and Chauncey and Ben Wallace. We really wasn't no big stars, but they all 10-year veterans. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen young teams look good and make it fun and make it interesting, but they go out in the first round of the playoffs. Toronto is at home for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And they got young talent. It's fun to watch, but... Like I said, no,
I agree with you. Okay, so older veteran teams win. I get that. I think Miami won the last 2 years. I think Miami has the oldest team in the league. Everybody like to crack jokes about the Spurs.
Spurs, yeah.
The Miami Heat got the oldest team in the NBA, y'all. So yeah, y'all can look that up. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, and so I see
a year ago, Juwan Howard was playing.
Exactly, right. Exactly. But I think the goal is sustained success. And I think that's why people like to look at younger teams and try to build with youth, because there's a better likelihood of that sustained success for a long stretch of time. I mean, people like to say the Oklahoma City model, and I have a beef with that phrase. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There is no model in Oklahoma City. Their model was they drafted really good players.
They drafted really good players. They drafted well.
They drafted
every team
well.
Would do that if they could.
They could.
You
right.
know what I'm saying? So when you hear people talk about the Oklahoma City model, know that that's garbage, because every team in the league would do what they did if they could. They would draft Durant, they would draft Westbrook, Ibaka, and Harden in 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's hitting the lottery 4 times.
Yeah, it is.
Nobody else does that, or else we'd see a couple of other Oklahoma cities running around out here. And Oklahoma City only got that good because Kevin Durant fell in their lap. Because if Seattle had got the number one pick, they probably would have picked Greg Oden, to be real.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
very true.
So
that's,
I mean, very true. You know, I don't really know about that, but Oklahoma City still doesn't have a championship because right. they're primarily a young team, and so what you see is they got guys like Derek Fisher and Caron Butler trying to supplement that experience, but I don't know if those guys have enough left in the tank, and they're not about to beat the Spurs. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah,
this ain't 2 years ago.
That's not gonna happen, right?
This ain't 2 years ago.
And I agree with you on that motto of, you know, younger players, and the Cavs are a young team, and I like that. Their cornerstones are young. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to do as far as veteran leadership, I'm not saying go get a 35-year-old player to play with a whole bunch of 22-year-olds. But the guys that people are looking at and the names that have been throwing around are guys like Kevin Love, who's 25, LaMarcus Aldridge, who's 26. You got young guys that we know if we draft Jabari Parker or if we draft either dude from Kansas, Wiggins or Embiid, you know what I'm saying? They could be. But we already know Kevin Love is 20 and 12. LaMarcus is 18 and 12. These guys are proven commodities at 25 years old. Like, so it's like, would you trade a bird in the hand for two in the bush? You might get LeBron, Jabari, Wiggins, they may end up being LeBron, but would you trade Scottie Pippen in his prime to maybe get LeBron or get Darko? You know what I'm saying? And that's why I think people are really
So what you're saying is we need to trade the pick. Or you would,
I would trade the pick. That's me personally. That would be me but you have to get some guarantees too. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's saying, well, Kevin Love is a California kid and why would he come to Cleveland? And my cousin was saying the other night, like, they've been beating us ever since he's been in the league. Why would he come to a team that he's been beating? LeBron was beating Miami every year in the league. You know what I'm saying? It has to be something that they see that works out. And now leaving that and coming to maybe Kyrie and Deion and maybe getting somebody else, it might be interesting to him. But I would think you would have to have a thing in place before you made that trade that he has to sign an extension to be here. Because you don't want to put no marbles in your basket and end up empty after a full year and then a player option year. Because that's all he got left.
These sitting up there on radio and everything now in this city, they sitting up there talking about, well, we should trade him regardless of whether or not he signs an extension. And I'm like, oh, we should trade for him right now. I'm like, are you serious? You're going to put all these eggs in one basket and then he walk away in next June and you have absolutely nothing and you give him number one pick? You'll be the sorriest organization out there. So for me, I'm looking at, I not only want to keep the number one pick, but I want to trade for Kevin Love too. Why not have both? So for me, I would go ahead and I'd draft Jabari Parker number one right off the rip because he's, to me, and just like you said, we need people who are ready. And I think out of all these guys that's in this draft right now, Jabari Parker is the most ready, NBA ready to play right now.
I would
contribute
agree.
Right now.
I would agree.
Wiggins is probably the most talented in this draft. And in 5 years, we'll probably be looking at it like, wow, we should have drafted this dude. But we don't have 5 years to sit.
Right.
Because we got Kyrie that's coming up on his contract. Deion's coming up on his. And we got all this young talent that we drafted that's going to be looking at contracts ending, staring them right in the face, and free agency looming. We got to go ahead and make this move right now to make the shifter so we can keep these guys here. Because if we don't show Kyrie and Deion and all these guys that we're trying to win now, they're not going to stay here. So my thing is,
I would go ahead.
I draft Jabari Parker number one because, like I said, out of all these cats, first of all, he feels the biggest need that you've had since LeBron left, which is that small forward. You never did. You had Alonzo G. You had, I mean, come on. You had C.J. Miles, who wasn't even a small forward. You had him. You had Omri Caspi. Don't even talk about the legend of Omri Caspi, okay? Don't even talk about that dude. So, I mean, you had a whole bunch of stiffs and bums. And then you trade for Luol Deng, and then you don't even know how to use him. And I thank you, Mike Brown, for nothing. That's why you're fired today. So, my thing is, You fulfill a need, and he is the most NBA-ready player. I mean, I watched this kid. The kid has so many different tools. He's not as athletic as Wiggins is. He's not flashy as Wiggins is, but he can flat-out ball. And he for his size, he's got an NBA body. He's already 240.
Yeah, but he's a little fat kid. He got to stop grabbing his shorts after halftime.
He got to stop grabbing his shorts. You
this ain't, this
right.
is the NBA. You know what
I'm
saying? He's dripping sweat on the court and breathing hard after 20 minutes.
That don't happen
in the league, man. You got to get ready.
Come here.
We had Deion, Anthony Bennett. We had a whole bunch of fat kids that got to work themselves in. We can't have it.
Get on the meal plan. That's all, dude. Just get on the meal plan.
We got the Weight Watchers class. We got the Weight Watchers joint. Deion was overweight. You know what I'm saying?
We get Chrissy Alley to go ahead and show about Weight Watchers.
They need some spinning class or something.
They need spinning class.
How was it? I still don't know how Anthony Bennett messed his shoulder up and gained like 25 extra pounds. Like, you don't need your shoulder to run? That don't even make sense.
He got some bad advice from his agent, man. Yeah. You know, his agent sat up there and saw him eating, man. He's like, man, put the sandwich down, dude. Put the sandwich down and
put
start
the sticky buns down.
Cardio. Do some cardio.
Get sticky buns down.
Do some P90X.
They should have had Jared Subway commercials on rotation in his room at all times.
He's 19 years old. He don't know nothing but eating, okay? He don't know nothing about that. It's ages him, like, man, you gotta put that down, dude. Your waistline's getting bigger. We gotta get you in a suit for June. He's just eating a whole bunch of things they could have done, man.
But I agree. I would agree that Jabari is the most NBA ready. Everybody says it. He's the most NBA ready. Wiggins has the most upside, and Embiid is a big guy
that could be great, or he could be Hakeem Olajuwon. We don't know. Yeah. That's the problem with him.
And he got the bad back.
He got the bad back.
That's a bad gamble. That's a hard gamble.
When you're 19 or 20 years old,
and 112 pounds, he's tall and skinny. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
man, hey.
I think he had a knee issue in college too.
Yeah.
So he had a knee and a back.
Yep.
And he might have even had something in high school, which is, if that's true, then this sounds eerily similar to the Nerlens Noel situation last year.
Which is why we didn't draft him last year. Exactly. And I'm glad we didn't draft him.
And I'm glad we didn't draft him either.
And he was, and at least Embiid has more of an offensive polish. No, Noel has absolutely zero offensive game. And I was so glad they didn't take him. I didn't care who they took. I just didn't want them to take Nerlens.
I actually liked the minute pick from the Cavs last year because I thought his talent was good. I didn't know he was going to come in like the fat kid. I didn't know, you know what I'm saying, he wasn't going to be ready. And I didn't know he was going to have Mike Brown left, who has yet to show he knows how to cultivate young talent. He hasn't done that since he's been here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You see Danny Green for the Spurs every night. Lighting him up where he could have been.
They cut Danny Green after one year.
He cut Shannon Brown. Shannon Brown won a championship.
And that's why he said what he said about Bennett. Like, I ain't letting him go.
Because
he made two mistakes already. He was looking for that strike three.
Right. That's exactly right. So, I mean, I'm saying, why can't you draft Parker and you also trade for Kevin Love? Because you got
that's what they said on Sports Illustrated. I don't know if you saw the article. Sports Illustrated had an article where they said basically that the Cavaliers could do that. And the little fake trade scenario they threw out was I think it was Deion Waiters, Tristan Thompson, Anthony Bennett, a protected pick, and maybe somebody else, maybe Varejao, for Kevin Love, J.J. Barea, and Alexei Shved. So we're giving up a lot, but the idea behind that deal is you get Kevin Love as one of the 10 best players in the league by most people's standards.
Right.
And you are pairing him with Kyrie Irving, and that's going to be your foundation. But you're still keeping the number one pick in this year's draft, and so then you can bring in a Jabari, a Wiggins, an Embiid with Kevin Love and Kyrie. So that was the thinking behind that. So I don't know. I don't think that's feasible, though, because I don't see Minnesota. Minnesota knows we have the number one pick.
Yeah.
So they're not going to they're going to look at us and be like, we're not dealing with you, Kevin Love, without getting that pick.
And guess what? I'm going to tell you right now that you can go ahead and trade him to some other team where he's going to be rented for 1 year, and then he goes somewhere else. Because my thing is, and this is the thing that I'm at beef with a lot of the writers and stuff here, is that they're trying to force this deal with Kevin Love. We don't have to force him. We can wait a year and let him get to free agent market and bring him here. We don't have to give up nothing. We don't have to give up none of our assets if we don't want to. It's not that big. Because I think even if you just draft Jabari Parker alone and you tinker with the roster, bring back Spencer Hawes, you bring a couple other guys in free agency, if you get a good coach in here, you can make a run for the playoffs next year without Kevin Love.
Oh, you should be in the playoffs.
Exactly. And then you come back this year. You have a ton of cap space. You come in in 2015 in June and you say, look, we got a whole bunch of cap space. We can sign a max player and we can re-sign Kyrie Irving and extend him. Bring in Kevin Love and with the guys you have, and you can still make trades after the fact, but you don't have to be in a rush go ahead and trade for a guy that right now technically you're only renting for a year. You don't have to do that.
Well, that's my biggest beef with the Kevin Love scenario. It's threefold, really. One is we don't know if he's gonna come here or stay here, rather. Stay here for the long term.
Exactly.
That's the one thing. Second thing is, if we do get Kevin Love, we're gonna have to pay him God knows how much money. You know what I'm saying? He's already going to be making $15 million a year. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, and then we're going to have to re-sign him to in order to keep him, to make this trade even worthwhile. So if we re-sign him, now we're talking about eating up like another, you know what I'm saying, $100 million of cap space. And that's with Kyrie coming up with an extension this summer. That's with Deion coming up on an extension next summer. And I can just tell you from the people in this room, because I know them, I've talked to them, you know, off air or whatever. But, you know, I think we're all in agreement here that we like Deion Waiters more than what most people do because Deion got that dog in him.
He's got that dog. I love him from day one.
And you know what I'm saying? He's not perfect. He's got his faults, you know, but Deion Waiters is the toughest dude on the team. And
get out of the way.
Yeah, no, I mean, this dude is from Philly, man. We could use a couple more cats like that, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So there's that factor, too. So, I mean, I like Kevin Love as a player, but the only other thing is that I don't know, and maybe you guys don't agree, but I don't know do we really know that he's that great of a player? Like,
is he a great player on a bad team?
I agree with that. He may be a great player on a bad team, but...
But so you can say the same thing about Kyrie Irving, too.
Yeah, you can say that.
And maybe if you put them together, you might have something. But my pops always told me, man, don't ever trust the statistics of a player with good statistics on a bad team.
I agree. Look at Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
He was the man there in Toronto.
He got $16 million a year.
He came to Miami, and him and LeBron got the same contract. I know LeBron wake up every morning like, I can't believe these cats make the same amount of money as I do. But he was the next best thing. He was averaging double-digit rebounds.
Like 23 and 12.
He can't get a rebound in Miami.
He doesn't want to get a rebound.
Please, somebody answer this. I'm glad we have this podcast today just to even talk about this. But how in the world can you sit up here? Now, LeBron left here because he kept saying he didn't have any help. Okay, he gets down to Miami, and yet he still leads the team in points, rebounds, and assists.
Never did
How is that possible?
He never did it in Cleveland.
Never did it in Cleveland. Chris Bosh can't score any points, but you can't tell me you can't be the leading rebounder on your team, and you playing center? Come on, man. D-Way, you got bad knees. I get that. Why can't you just pass the ball to LeBron? Pass the wheel, let him score, and get your assist.
Just pass the wheel.
Come on, man. Get your dimes. How does this dude, how does this kid
shout out
go down
Fresh
there
Prince
and
Will
just
Smith,
take
no
over,
doubt.
Over the whole team? He got to be Jesus Shuttlesworth with Jesus Shuttlesworth on the team. Okay? He got everything.
No, I agree. I agree totally. I don't understand that. But I agree totally with that point about Kevin Love. But I just, what he does on a night in and night out basis, whether who he's facing, shows me. To me, personally. But I understand. Everybody's argument is great. And like we were talking on another thing before, at a previous time, a guy like Greg Monroe in Detroit would be an excellent pick.
And I'm glad you said that.
Excellent.
I'm glad you said that. Okay. Yeah. So this is my theory, y'all. And I haven't touched on this theory on the site yet. I haven't written anything or we haven't had a podcast in a couple of weeks. So this is my theory as far as what the Cavaliers should do. Now, but actually, before I get to that, Roy, someone to get your thoughts. So do you have a player in mind that you really think we should get? Or are you still unsold on some of these guys? Are you thinking trade? What's up?
I dig Jabari Parker, man. I agree with the fellas, man. I think that he is definitely the most NBA ready. I personally, though, and I don't want to open up a whole nother can of worms. We can save it for later. But I personally think we're going to be expecting a car from South Beach later on this summer. And there's some things that's going to happen, man, that I don't know if any of us can predict. But I really think, I truly do, and it ain't because I'm hopeful, it ain't just because I'm a Cleveland kid, but I really just think there's been a lot of coincidental things popping off that's going to cause LeBron to come back here, man. That's just what I think. So
that's the elephant in the room right there.
Yeah.
That's the elephant. We're going to get to that in a minute, man, because
I got some things to say about that.
Because Johnny's here. Johnny's in town. You know what I'm saying? He can't, you know, they're doing McDonald's commercials together, you know? Right. We got money sign going on right now in the studio, you know what I'm saying? But so Royce sound like he on board with Jabari. Mark sound like he on board with Jabari. Vince sound like he on board with trading the pick as the first option. So, with all that being said, I kind of look at it like this. Kevin Love, great player. I don't know if I would give up the number one pick in the draft for him. I was actually on board with the idea of giving a bunch of our assets to get him before I knew that we had the number one pick. If we would have gotten somewhere between like 5 and 10 somehow, which I don't even think was possible based on how the lottery set up. But if that would have happened, then I would have been on board with dealing that pick. But given the fact that we got the number one pick in this draft, this is supposed to be the best draft in eons, basically, in a decade, which is like a lifetime in the NBA.
Right.
And we don't know that Kevin Love is going to stick around in Cleveland. We just don't know that for sure. So given that, I would rather take the cheaper guy who's going to be here for a guaranteed 5 years, who we know is going to be able to play. Wiggins, Parker, whoever, they can ball. So they're going to come in and contribute. The Cavaliers have a hole at center, so Embiid could be a possibility. They have a hole at small forward shooting guard, too. They haven't really had that field, a legitimate athletic wing that can really hoop. They haven't had that since LeBron left. And they've been keeping that spot vacant for him, more or less.
Pretty much.
You know what I'm saying? So what I think the Cavaliers should do, I'm a Wiggins guy. And I like Jabari. And I like Embiid, too. I think Embiid has a lot of talent. I don't trust that back and that knee. We done seen Greg Oden. We done seen Sam Bowie. We done seen these other big men that fall apart before the race even starts. And the NBA is a marathon because it's 82 games a night. And it's year after year. It's such a grind on the body. And I don't trust a guy who's coming into the league with these kinds of injuries. If it was something, if he had broken his wrist, like Greg Oden broke his wrist in college. If it was a broken wrist, maybe you could talk me into it. But we're talking about a back and a knee. No, absolutely not. If his knees, back, feet, I don't want nothing to do with it. So given that, I would rather us go after Andrew Wiggins over Jabari Parker, because I think Andrew Wiggins is going to be a more complete pro down the line. He reminds me a lot of Paul George right now. And I call Paul George a total package, man, because he can pretty much do everything pretty well.
Yeah.
And I think Andrew Wiggins has the capability to excel offensively and defensively. Jabari Parker is a great talent, but he's a horrible defender right now. And the Cavs are already a horrible defensive team. You know what I'm saying? The Cavs couldn't shut off a water fountain. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how they're going to shut off some of these other wing players in the NBA. You get Andrew Wiggins out there on the wing. He's got length. He's got athleticism. He can jump out the gym, what they call in a 44-inch vertical. Right? I mean, Wiggins, he's got perimeter game, he's got face-up game, he can run the floor, he's fluid, he's graceful, he's got all of that stuff, he can shoot. I think he's a good kid, which, I mean, you know, we want people with dog in him, but yeah, still, I think he's a good kid.
I still want him on the floor.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So all that stuff being said, I would rather have us take Andrew Wiggins, because I don't think that Jabari, even though people classify him as the most NBA-ready, I don't know that Jabari is so much more NBA-ready than Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, I mean, Andrew Wiggins averaged 17 a game with about 7 rebounds. Andrew Wiggins had a game this year where he had 41 points. He had another game this year where he had about 16, 17 rebounds. You know what I'm saying? And he can defend. So, I mean, this kid, they've been talking about this kid since high school, like, they're almost the same way they talked about LeBron. So, I mean, give me Wiggins, and then, like you said before, go after a restricted free agent like Greg Monroe. You know, that money that we were going to pay Kevin Love, we can pay that to Greg Monroe. We throw some cash in him. I don't see Detroit re-signing him because, I mean, they might. You know, Stan Van Gundy might go in there and shake things up. I don't know.
But they got
Josh Smith and Drummond. And that trio does not work. That triumvirate of players was garbage. And they're good players.
Yeah, you're right.
Josh is good when he want to be. But
it's about fit, though.
But there's no fit there whatsoever. So if we pay him enough, I don't see Detroit matching that. And so we're going to have that cap space, provided we don't spend it on somebody like Kevin Love. So with that being the case, give me Greg Monroe. He's not a great defender, but you pair him with Anderson Varejão, who is a terrific defender, and hopefully he can stay healthy for a change.
Right, right, right.
But you pair them together, now you got Monroe, who's a skilled big man. He's averaging about 15, 16, and 9 rebounds now.
Yeah.
And he was playing he's averaging 9 rebounds playing next to Drummond.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So he gobbles up all the rebounds. So you put Monroe next to Varejão, you got a legit back-to-the-basket presence, something that the Cavaliers haven't really had in forever. You put that with Wiggins and Waiters and Kyrie, and now you got a team. Now you can take Tristan Thompson, maybe, and flip him along with our second pick, which is our second-round pick is, I think, 33rd overall. Those picks are really valuable these days because the way the draft system is slotted, there's certain financial commitments that you have to make with a first-round pick.
Exactly.
So those high second-round picks, those are worth their weight in gold these days. So you flip that high second round pick with Tristan Thompson, maybe you get another ball player in here, maybe a shot blocker or something like that. You know, I think that's more the route that the Cavaliers should go. But
that's a good route, and it's a smart route. And you keeping your youth, and Greg Monroe in his third year.
He's only 24 years
old. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Averaging like 16 and 9 now. He's like 24.
And you still got the youth there, and you got skill game. You know what I'm saying? And he's not going to demand the contract that Love is demanding. So
most importantly, you have your flexibility. You know what I'm saying? As a franchise, you need your flexibility so you can, in case you need to sign a bigger player, you have the cap space if you don't want to sign a bigger player or you want to trade some assets, you still have that flexibility to do so. If you jammed up like Miami, you can't afford it. Or you get another
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Brooklyn can't even afford a pencil. Damn, you know happy meal.
Yeah, right. Brooklyn is bad. They can't afford lights in the arena. That's why it's dark in
that
joint.
It's dark in there.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the darkest arena I've ever seen in my life.
In the, it's ever.
We didn't talk about that during the playoffs.
They need to lighten the seats up or something
in
that joint. This ain't like they ain't pay the light bill in that joint.
You got a multi-billionaire owning a franchise. He can't keep the lights on.
It's dark in there, man.
It's dark, man.
It is dark. But you know what I'm saying? I do understand. I agree with that.
Shout out to Garden Valley Project.
No doubt. But yeah, you know. So, like I said, everything that goes around, I mean, this is not, it's not rocket science. It's not, you know what I'm saying? And it's not a sure thing, like we said, with the Oklahoma City, you know what I'm saying, way. It's not a sure thing. So it's all guesswork. You know what I'm saying? It's all guesswork because, you know what I'm saying, not to get off subject or whatever, but like you said, in college, Sam Bowie was better than Michael Jordan. They picked him for a reason. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just, oh, we're not going to pick this guy. They picked him for a reason. It didn't help that Michael Jordan ended up 100,000 times better than Sam Bowie. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? Like, people wouldn't even look at Sam Bowie's career as that bad if Michael Jordan didn't get picked after him. Because Sam Bowie was hurt all the time, but he averaged like 12-8. That's not a bad NBA career. You know what I'm saying?
It's serviceable.
You know what I'm saying? But to everybody, Sam Bowie is the model of the worst player in the NBA, and there's been plenty of players worse than him.
Jay-Z putting him in his rhymes.
Yeah, exactly.
A ball for real. Y'all niggas is Sam Bowie.
You know what I mean? So... The thing is, it's a crapshoot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you can get Jabari Parker, you can get Andrew Wiggins, and that's the only reason why my Kevin Love scenario or trading the pick was a scenario, because to me, it's like I would rather have something I know that is good. I'd rather have a 2014 Kia than maybe I can get this 2015 Jag. You know what I'm saying? I take the one that's there already. You know what I'm saying? Instead of driving my 86 Cutlass Caprice or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that's my look for the whole joint. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just don't, you know what I'm saying? I've been sure about a lot of people and I've been wrong and I've been unsure. You know what I'm saying?
We've all been right or wrong, guys.
You could tell me any day that Kevin Durant was going to be what he is now, and I would disagree, because I watched him at Texas and I wasn't impressed. I think he had range. I thought that, but I didn't think he was going to be as dynamic of an offensive player as he is
right
now. So if you could be wrong, and I just don't. I'm a Cavs fan, and I love the Cavs. My city ain't won a championship in 50 plus years.
50 years.
So you know what I'm saying? I'm looking to win, and I don't want to be like, okay, we drafted this guy, and now he's nothing. Now we're stuck for another 3-4 years.
All we're going to do is win a lottery again.
According to Bill Simmons.
Yeah, right. Bring it up.
But you know what I'm saying? Everybody here has good sports and basketball knowledge. So all the scenarios are good scenarios. You know what I'm saying? They're all good scenarios. They're all feasible scenarios. You know what I'm saying? Some may be better than others. Some may be a coup, you know, pulled off the world's greatest coup. Right. And other may be, you know, just so-so. But everything is a viable way for
the Cavaliers have options. And that's the bottom line. Let me bring this to the table, and Royce touched on it a minute ago, the LeBron factor. Now, here we go. Okay, so basically, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not LeBron's going to come back to Cleveland, obviously. When we drafted LeBron, they couldn't wait to get that dude out of Cleveland. Yeah. And finally, they pried him away from his hometown team, basically. And the Cavaliers organization played their role in it, so I'm not going to act like they didn't. But you know, LeBron wanted to spread his wings, go to a different place, you know, see the chicks in Miami, whatever, live on the beach. I can't fault him for that. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now, if he comes back... Now, here's my theory on that. One, I think LeBron wants to come back. I do. I think he really wants to. I think he sees the Johnny Manziel. I think he feels some sort of guilt for leaving. And in my opinion, I think there's a career stain on his resume for leaving a team that was cursed and going up and joining with the next best man and his buddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, the two top free agents besides himself in that class, he gonna join up with both of them to get his rings. That's a sucker move as far as I'm concerned, and I still say that to this day.
And
the people
they look up to feel that way. That's what
that's Barkley, Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic, all of them said that. Right. So I think he knows that, and so I think he wants to come back for that reason. And based off nothing other than just my own personal intuition, I think LeBron's wife wants to come back because I don't think that she's from Akron too. Yeah. I don't think she's a Miami type of girl. I think that's not really her stilo. You know what I'm saying? And she probably sees the women down there too. You know what I mean? So she probably want to get his ass back home. so that's the other part. But LeBron, you know, there's no reason. And my father and I used to go back and forth about whether or not the Cavs did the right thing when he was here in 2010, that summer. And he basically said that the Cavs were wrong for basically building their team on the hope that he would re-sign. And everything was structured around the hope that LeBron would re-sign. And my argument to him was, we didn't have a choice because you can't let the best player in the game walk away.
Right.
Now, what you may be hearing a lot of national media people and pundits say is that the Cavaliers need to do this or that in order to entice LeBron to come back.
You ain't gotta do that.
That is garbage. Don't listen to that. That's garbage. Because how much sense does it? I'm asking y'all right now, just sit in your little cubicle if you're listening to this, wherever you're listening to this, ask yourself, how much sense does it make to build a team around a player that doesn't play for your team?
Exactly.
How much sense is that?
When they ripped you for building up around a player that played for your team.
Exactly. You know, right. Exactly.
They ripped you to me.
And Miami's the same team as the Cleveland was. You know, they basically, aside from, okay, Wade is more of a slasher than we ever really had with him before. But, I mean, basically, they spread the floor. They got one big man that flies around, protects the rim. That was, Varejao was the bird man on that team. He didn't block shots, but he took charges. He still protected the rim. And then they surrounded him with shooters. And that's basically what Miami does. And Spoelstra and Mike Brown is the same dude.
It's the same dude.
You know what I'm saying?
They both videographers. They the same cats, man.
Right. They both defense first, videographers that work their way up. They play college basketball in the same conference at the same time. You know what I'm saying? They the same guy. So,
and I mean, not, you know what I'm saying, everybody that knows me know my thing about D-Wade. You know what I'm saying?
We were going to get into this too.
But Vince
hates Dwayne Wade, y'all.
I don't hate Dwayne Wade.
Don't get on the podcast
I don't. I'm about to tell you.
I do
trash him, and I will continue to trash him. And I'm not about to tell you why. Because everybody talked about Larry Hughes. He got ran out of Cleveland. Larry Hughes got ran out of Cleveland for averaging what Dwayne Wade averages in the playoffs. 15 points and 7 assists. Larry Hughes got ran out of Cleveland. We need a Ray Allen. This dude only averages 15 points and 7 rebounds. Now Dwayne Wade is getting $16.8 million to do that. And he going to the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Like, and everybody talks about LeBron, and I was here when LeBron one-handedly beat the Pistons and scored 23 in a row, but nobody talks about Larry Hughes shutting down Chauncey Billups the whole series.
That was the reason why they won
the whole series.
That's the reason.
Look
why
at
they
the stats. Chauncey Billups was the best player on the team. As far as stats-wise, I always think Rasheed Wallace was the best player talent-wise, but Chauncey Billups stat-wise, Mr. Big Shot, playing the point guard, and Larry Hughes shut him down. Points, assists, none of that. They went away. They turned
into
the
basketball. And then he got hurt going into the finals.
He got hurt going into the finals, and that's why.
And then he got swept. Then Tony Parker went off.
He went off.
He ate up Eric Snow and Boobie Gibson.
And that, boy, everybody. I can eat up Boobie Gibson.
Who did? Right. Who did?
Keisha Cole did.
Yeah. She's still doing it. But, so let me get back on D-Wade. I don't hate D-Wade, but my thing is, everybody wants to grant him Hall of Fame. Like I heard Mark Jackson say,
he's the third best
two-guard behind Jordan and Kobe, which is ridiculous. My thing, everybody wants to say Dwayne Wade traded he gave LeBron the reins in Miami. Yeah. He stepped back and he decided.
No, LeBron took that.
That's number one. Number one is that. Number two is they blame his injuries. That's why he's not with it. In the NBA, everybody's injured. Like you said, it's 82 games. When you play the playoffs and you're an NBA star and you're playing in the Olympics, you don't stop playing basketball. So it's everybody's injured. So for his knees to be getting iced after every game, everybody's sitting in the cold tub. But my problem with Dwayne Wade, and it's not that I hate him, it's that everybody is putting him on the extra. They put him on a pedestal that he doesn't deserve. He's on a pedestal that he doesn't deserve.
My counter to that in the past has been the 06 finals. He averaged about 37 points a game in 6 games. I think it's the highest scoring average. Maybe not the highest scoring average, but one of the highest.
And he can thank Shaquille O'Neal for that.
He can thank,
and the referees.
And he can thank Shaquille O'Neal and the referees. Because Dwayne Wade,
shot like 98 to 105 free throws in six games.
He did.
Real talk.
He did.
And they were down 0-2, so he wasn't getting his free throws in the first two games. So in four games, he shot 100 free throws. Who can't score 37 points when you shoot 100 free throws? That's 25 free throws a game.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody want to give him credit for that. Thank Shaq, because Shaq was still getting double teamed at the time. And you was a young dude that went behind Darko and all these dudes. And nobody even went, you went to Marquette for 4 years. Nobody wasn't looking at you like that. You was not the focus on the team. When Shaq left to the, when LeBron game there, they was a 41-41 team making the eighth playoff spot and losing every year. Allen Iverson took a bum squad to the NBA Finals and won a game against the vaunted Lakers, who had never wasn't losing to nobody.
Swept every
it was sweeping everybody. So you can't tell me Dwayne Wade is one of the greatest players ever if he can't take a team that still had Gary Payton's and still had a dude that went from Antoine Walker's and still had these dudes and they can only win 40 games. He's not that great.
Yeah, all these cats on his team.
He's not that great. That's my thing. That my thing is like him. He's one of them good players or great players on a bad team. He did his best work when the team was bad. Now the team is good and he's 15-9. But, and my other thing with that is, and I, it's not that I, like I said, I don't, I just, personally, I don't like him. I think he's kind of.
He can't dress. I know that.
No, I think he's kind of homosexual. But we're going to leave that alone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But. My thing is, my other thing with Dwayne Wade is everybody says, now I agree, LeBron, when he went in the first series, that first year against Dallas, Dwayne Wade was the best player on the floor because LeBron was still the LeBron in Cleveland.
Right.
He still hadn't took on this. He thought his skills or his talent or his speed and athletic was going to take him. Now he realized this is not it. So he got a king to work on his post game that next summer. And then everybody says injuries. He lost his confidence.
You think Wade lost his confidence?
He lost his confidence. Playing next to LeBron every day, he realized how much better LeBron is than he is. Playing against him eight times a year, I score 35, you score 35, we cool. Now you see him every day in practice. You play on the team every game. You like, this dude is that much better than me.
I had a higher thing of Dwayne Wade when he first came out, and I actually thought, because on the flip side, I was not a LeBron fan. I thought LeBron... Well, first of all, because you watched him all the time when he was in high school, I thought he was the most arrogant, cockiest guy I ever saw in my life.
He is.
And he's just a to me, his talent was immense, but he was a mental midget, and I thought that was what's going to hold him back more than anything. The fact was that without question, he was the most talented player that I've seen play basketball, after Michael Jordan was, and actually he was a much better talent than Jordan was. The problem with him was it was between the ears, and he was not focused mentally, and he didn't have that instinct to. He was too scared to fail, so that he wasn't going out there trying to play to the best of his ability because he was too scared to failure, and that's what held him back here. I think he got tight in the biggest moments because he didn't want to be the GOAT. He wanted all the accolades. He did not want to take any of the
blame. None of us. I don't think any of us want as Cavs fans. We don't want LeBron to come back. I don't
want him back.
You know what I'm saying? And if he comes back, great. I'm going to cheer for him because I cheer for the Cavs as a fan. You know what I'm saying? I mean, objectively, I can still pick apart the team and all that stuff. But as a fan, I still ride for the Cavaliers. And if LeBron comes back, then, yeah, sure. You know, I'll root for him. Yeah, he gonna trade in 6 for 23 again and be the same old LeBron. But, you know, but I don't want him to come back because he made a decision. And we don't need him specifically to win a championship because no team in NBA history ever had LeBron James on a roster and won a championship. Until 2 years ago. So, you know, so you don't need LeBron to win. You just need the right team. So, but real quick, you guys think he's coming back, or do you none of you want him back, but you think he's coming back?
I think he will never come back in Cleveland. I think he will never come back to Cleveland. And it's on the same way that you feel the stains and all that. I think he will make himself feel less. You know what I'm saying? It will feel like I'm going back because I'm wrong. And I don't think he would never want to admit that. You know what I'm saying? He made his decision. It's kind of like you leaving your girl and you know it's bad, but you don't want to come back crawling. You know what I'm saying?
It's hilarious how everybody goes to the girlfriend analogy.
Yeah, because it is. It's true. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to come back crawling because you got a male ego. know what I'm saying? Even if you know his this ego is the best. Is
bigger than his planet.
And his ego is that big, I think he would say, it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, I think his wife wants to come back. I think she's an Akron girl. I think everything wants to come. I think he want to keep his mama out of the Miami Police Department. I think they know her in Akron. She grew up here. Everything is good. I think everything makes sense for him to come back.
He was protected here. He was.
Yeah, he was. And that's the first thing that happened that first year he was there. When everybody started coming down on him, it was like, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's like they popped that bubble he was in. So I don't think he's coming back because of pride. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but that's just me. I think he'll never come back.
What you guys think real quick?
I think it's set up for him to come back. I think like Royce was talking about, I think all the dominoes are set up for him to make this dramatic comeback to this city. However, I don't, like V said, I don't think he's coming back because, A, I don't think, pride is the biggest thing with him. I don't think he wants to admit that he's wrong. Because, I mean, and honestly, had the Spurs did what they were supposed to do and won last year, that whole transition of him going down to Miami would have been an epic failure. Had Popovich had Tim Duncan in for to grab one more damn rebound.
Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, just think about it.
They were five seconds away from the title.
Right.
Five seconds.
The one title that they did win was in a strike short year. So you looking at this whole situation of him going down there, teaming up with these all-stars, and then only
to win
one
multiple
ring.
Six, seven championships.
If you get one ring in a short season. He would have been running back here with his tail between his legs because the writing would have been on the wall. But the fact that he won two titles, he doesn't feel as though he needs to come back because he feels that he's won. He feels that that was the best move for him because he got the titles that he needs. So,
Royce, what you think?
I personally think that he is coming back. I think that he wants to right his wrongs. I think that this decision that he made, as he's already admitted, was a big mistake. I think he wants to fix that. Number two, I think that he is money motivated. I think
Ron Brand or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's after the dollar. A lot of what he could do if he comes back here, righting his wrongs, erasing the stain, plus the money that we can offer, I think that that's what his motivation is right now. The wins, for some reason in me, I don't think that's a big deal for him anymore.
See, I think it is. I think he still wants to be great.
I just think, you know, I think that he understands his place in history. He knows he's one of the top 10 players to ever play the game right now. He's got 23,000 points right now. He's not even 30 years old. Like, wrap your head around that. Like, he's gonna finish second or first ever in scoring. You know what I'm saying? That those records are coming down. You know, so I think that he still does care about winning because I think he understands his place with the pantheons of the greats of the game. I think he really wants to be a part of that. But
you know, on the Mount Rushmore, though, I don't think he can stop that nonsense. I need to be on the Mount Rushmore. Like, stop that. They don't want to hear that crap.
I don't know. But I think it's possible that he could still come back. I don't know that it's probable, but I definitely think it's possible, though. I think we touched on a lot, y'all. Let's jump into playoffs real quick right now. 1-1 in the East, 2-0 in the West. We all think San Antonio is gonna mess around and
get your brooms out.
Okay, we're gonna broom and dustpan these clowns in Oklahoma City.
I'm gonna get OKC one game. I'm gonna give them game three. If it ain't game three, I give them none. But game one in OKC, if they can come out and show some resilience, but if they get stumped on, they done. But I picked it five games before the series started. I had San Antonio in five. My dude told me I was crazy. And that was before Serge Ibaka got hurt. I just think this team is a well-oiled machine. I think when Pop showed them that video of them losing game six at the beginning of the season, their whole plan was the 82 games of the regular season was nothing. They knew they was going to win 40, 50, 60 games. They knew it. They knew they was going to be in the playoffs. Their whole focus was on these playoff games. And they on the mission. They're on the mission. And I picked them to win the championship like I picked them to win the championship last year before the playoffs, even though...
Well, you have a theory that you basically pick the Patriots and the Spurs every year.
I pick the Patriots and the Spurs every year. I do. Until Tom Brady retire and Tim Duncan retire, that means Belichick will be gone and Popovich will be gone. Because Popovich said he waiting on Timmy. You know what I'm saying? And he might hang him up. And Bill Belichick, no, I'm a Ryan Mallett fan, and I like old dude. They just picked up. They not Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? They not Tom Terrific. They not the dude that should have five rings right now. They not that dude. Right. So I pick them every year because even though like it's different reasons, but it's just the organizations. They're great organizations. I pick them both because they're great organizations. The Spurs, it's the way they play.
They move the ball. It's body movement.
It's the way basketball is supposed to be played.
Yeah,
they play basketball the way basketball is not to be played.
You like the stanky leg offense down in Miami. The South Beach stanky leg. You know, LeBron dribble.
Bail out three. No, I don't like
that.
But you know what I'm saying?
All five of them, center at the three.
The Patriots I picked just because I never bet against Tom Brady. I never bet against him. And anybody that say Peyton Manning is better, they lost their mind.
That's a whole another podcast. But y'all can go back and listen to the Peyton podcast from February.
But I go with them too. So I pick the Spurs every year. So for fault or not at fault, the only time I didn't pick them was when they beat the Cavs.
Right.
But ever since then, so I've been wrong every year because I ain't had the championships in 2007. But I don't stop picking them. And I will pick them this year. And I think they will win this in five. And Miami, if Miami gets by, I think Indiana hurt themselves by losing game two. I think they had a real good chance of winning the series.
You can't give away playoff games.
You can't give away playoff games. I didn't say Miami won game two. Like I said, they gave away game two at home. Yeah. So for them to be up 2-0, it is different than being 1-1 going to Miami. We'll see this weekend because Saturday and Monday, the games is that's if they can't beat Miami, hopefully Saturday. But if they can't beat Miami one of them games, they go back to Indiana, it's over with in five. Or whatever.
Well, the other thing, too, if San Antonio plays Miami, San Antonio going to have home court this year.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, I think they got rid of that 2-3-2 format this year, no?
Yes, it is. 2-2-1-1-1.
Okay, 2-2-1-1-1, but the bottom line is game seven still going to be in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I had San Antonio at the start of the season. I had San Antonio at the start of the playoffs, winning the whole thing. I changed my East pick to Miami coming out the East against San Antonio at the start of the playoffs. Because I had Chicago at the start of the season, but that was when Rose and Dang was there, so that fell apart, obviously. But I revised my pick at the start of the playoffs. I had Miami and San Antonio, and I'm sticking with the Spurs in that rematch. But you guys have the same thing, or you got something different?
I got the same thing right now. I was on the Indiana bandwagon too. I actually saw them in person when they played the Cavs. Yeah, I know it was March. Okay, and those games really don't matter. But for the Cavs to shut them down, to me that just scared the crap out of me because I can't trust them. I don't know which team's gonna show up.
They can come out here
on Saturday and blow Miami out by 20, and then come back on Monday and lose by 20. I have no faith in this team whatsoever.
They tend to zig whenever you think they're gonna zag.
Exactly.
So if you think they're gonna lose this next game,
they probably gonna win.
Win game three.
That's what scares me. I can't trust that. That's helter skelter. I can't deal with that. So I'm gonna go ahead and go with Miami. Although I don't like the pick, but just the fact that I think it'll be them in San Antonio. But right now, San Antonio, like I said, they're on a mission, man. They know, they realize they screwed up their chance of getting that ring. And honestly, if they won last year, I think Timmy would have probably just went sayonara and walked away. Mm-hmm. But I think he's driven now to get this ring so he can walk away.
And
so
I don't think he'll make that mistake.
You
don't get back. Who does that? Everybody is hyping San Antonio because who has an epic follow up? They crumble. They had this title. Who does that and then come back and win 62 games and is the best team in the NBA? Who does that?
Playing Patty Mills.
Playing Patty Mills.
And
Tiago Splitter.
Tiago Splitter and
Boris Diaw.
Wow, what a bummer.
Boris Diaw got the same personal trainer as Anthony Bennett.
Yes, he does. But Boris Diaw been doing it for 12 years.
Right.
Boris Diaw been doing it this whole year. It's French fries and French toast because he's a French man. You know what I'm saying? But I just don't, I like I said, I picked the Spurs at the beginning of the year, and I picked them at the beginning of the playoff. But I picked them to beat Oklahoma City in five, and I picked them to beat whoever they play in the NBA Finals in five. I'm just holding this basketball team.
Royce, what you got real quick?
Eric Spoelstra versus Greg Popovich. Popovich ain't losing again. Simple as that.
Everything we said.
Simplify down to that. Disregard everything we said. Take that
Eric
for
Brown or Mike Spoelstra, whatever way you want to look at it. They gonna lose.
That's all.
Right.
It's done.
Right. We running short on time, y'all, but I want to get you guys' thoughts real quick on Johnny Manziel. Obviously, we haven't talked about the NFL draft since we returned. We had the mock draft last time he was on the show, and now, obviously, we had the NFL draft. It's done. It's over with. The Josh Gordon suspension came down right after the first round ended, and so the people ripped the Browns for not drafting a receiver, which I didn't really understand. You had people like Mel Kiper. I think he gave the Browns a B-.
And said they would have had an A if they would have drafted a receiver. Yeah, well, in any round. Like, it wasn't even the first round.
Yeah, so if we got a seventh round receiver, we would have got an A. But that doesn't make sense. So then they turn around and get Miles Austin and Earl Bennett. And they're better than anybody we could have drafted at that point.
After Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans, there was no receiver that was better than the guys you could have picked up off the street. To be honest, for immediate impact, you wasn't going to get that anywhere else.
So what do you guys think of Manziel now being in Cleveland and specifically the way the Browns organization is handling the media? They're trying to lower the temper, the expectations. They're trying to limit the exposure. I think it's a good thing. Some people are saying, we want Johnny Football to be Johnny Football. It's like, why you want him to blow up before he even took a snap yet? You know what I'm saying? Like, let him give him time to groom and develop and let him get up off the spotlight for just a second. Let him breathe. He was doing all this media before the draft. They're going to be all over him when the season starts, you know, and the national media just couldn't get into the rookie mini camp in May, and they flipped out on him.
Let this kid be a rookie. I love the way they're handling him. Because they need to put him, they need to keep his ego in check and keep him humble, man. Keep him grinding, to make him want the job and not feel he's entitled as he gets the job because he's a number one pick. You know what I'm saying? My thing is that they're handling it well. The national media is just upset because the Browns just kept them out of rookie minicamp. Come on, man. It's rookie minicamp. Everybody's in shorts and he just run around. He threw three passes and everybody all, we didn't get to see it live. So now they ripping the Browns.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. Stop it, man. Come on. I love the way they're handling him. I really do.
I love the way the coaching staff is handling him.
Stone Cold Mike Patton.
I love the way they coaching staff is handling. I love the way they're handling the media. But understand this, and I'm not a Johnny fan like that. Now that he wears the brown and orange, I'm Johnny to the hilt. But understand this, after the bye week, if it goes that long, Brian Hoyer will not be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
No.
He will not. They can say what they want to. He can be a rookie, pretend you're a rookie, act like the backup. After the bye week, if it's not week four. After, I'm a season ticket holder, been there since 2002. After week four, Johnny Football will be the starting quarterback if it takes that long. And if they honestly, like I said, I'm not a Johnny fan, but if they honestly say, who wins the job at the beginning of the season? Johnny Football is a better quarterback than Brian Hoyer. If they go by who's the better quarterback, he'll be starting week one. But if they don't want to, he's going to be the starting quarterback before six games, before halfway through the season. But I like that. Humble him, make him earn the job, make him focus on football, not focus on the I'm Johnny Football, and let him focus. Yeah, not the money side. Let him focus on
not the Drake records.
Yeah, exactly. Let him focus on football and get him ready for this grueling 16-game season. Hopefully more, because I'm looking for playoffs. I look for every year, but hopefully more, and get him ready for that. And I love the way the coaching staff is doing it. But for anybody who thinks that Johnny Manziel is not going to be the Browns starting quarterback this year, they're out their mind. And Brian Hoyer can be 100% healthy.
Yeah, 130,
and come back with a bionic arm
don't matter.
Right. Royce, last word, man. Johnny Football.
Man, I'm not a Johnny Football fan.
Really?
I'm praying for him. I mean, little dude, you know what I'm saying, running around out there throwing, you know, Hail Marys into seven-man coverage. I just, listen, I hope he all right. You know what I'm saying? Whenever he get the call to pull up to the starting spot, I hope he don't get racked and, you know, be spread out on the floor somewhere.
Say a little prayer for Johnny.
Right. Yeah, well, you know what? It ain't like you lying. I mean, he's a little dude. Look, man, I think he's got all the potential in the world. I just think he needs to learn how to slide. He used to try to run through cats in the SEC. Yeah. That ain't not happening no more. You cannot run through the Baltimore Ravens. That will not happen.
He won't make it through week one Pittsburgh. He's trying to do all
that. No, absolutely not.
Football will be over real quick.
Yeah, all that hysteria will be down the tubes.
Johnny sideline.
Right.
Blaming the Browns
Johnny
on that, too.
Johnny Funeral.
Johnny Full Body Cast.
Johnny Full Body Cast.
You know what I'm saying? Or Johnny Body Bag.
Johnny Cummings and Davis.
Yeah. Oh, man. We had a lot of fun, y'all. We had a lot of fun, man. We've been at it for about an hour, man, and the time just flew by. I don't even think we got to touch on everything I really wanted to touch on. I didn't even get to touch on my man. Shout out to my boy Anthony, who me and him often discuss how Dwayne Wade is a diabolical human being, or so it appears, just because of the fact that, like, he's... And this isn't the Dwayne Wade bash podcast, but it's just the fact that, you know, he's appears to be, like, the dirtiest player in the league. I'm not so sure that this concussion thing wasn't intentional. Like, he somehow tried to clip him with the knee on the way down or something like that. You know what I'm saying? We just seen Dwayne Wade pull some shady stuff in the past, and he duped LeBron into coming down there and doing all the work, and he's taking the credit. And he's still going to have... He's one still going to retire one more ring than LeBron. And so, I don't know, but... So shout out to my man Anthony for that, and thank you again, Royce, Mark, Vince. Thank you guys. We're gonna have y'all on the podcast again. This is what we do. We had a lot of fun tonight. Once we get a little more into the summer, once basketball dies down and we have the draft and all that, we'll definitely get back into more hip hop music. But to be honest with you, hip hop been a little bit quiet on the scenes lately. So we're gonna have to, you know what I'm saying, we're gonna have to hear some new music to kick up the interest a little bit, because there hasn't been a whole lot to talk about of late. You know, so we'll get into all that down the road.
No.
Right. He said, absolutely not.
Can we get some real music, please?
Okay, there we go. All
right.
Yep. So, thank you all.
That's another podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast, y'all. Thank you for joining us. Check out the website, Hip Hop Sports Support Podcast. Excuse me, hiphopsportsreport.com and Hip Hop Sports Support Podcast on iTunes. We're on iTunes. I'm going to work on getting this up on SoundCloud as well. You already know what it is. It's Jay Hicks here. For Royce, for Mark, for Vince, we signing off, y'all. We out of here. Peace.
Peace.
What do you bring to the table? Well, I'm watching every nigga watching me closely. My shit is butter for the bread, they wanna toast me. I keep my head, both of them where they supposed to be. Hoes will get you sidetracked and clap from close feet. I don't sleep, I'm tired, I feel wired like codeine. These days a rubber gotta admire me from four fiends away. My pain, which shit was quick to see. From selling cane to brains was fried to a fricassee. Can't lie, at the time it never bothered me. At the bar getting my dog on properly. My squad and me, lack of respect for authority. Laughing hard, happy to be escaping poverty. However brief, I know this game got valleys and peaks. Expectation for dips, for precipitation we stack chips hardly. The youth I used to be, soon to see a million, no more. Big Willie, my game has grown, prefer you call me William. Illin' for revenues, grateful lemon like Channel 7 News, round 7 Jews, head dead in the mic. Forgetting all I ever knew, convenient amnesia. I suggest you call my lawyer, I know the procedure. Lock my body, can't trap my mind easily. Explain why we adapt to crime. I'd rather die enormous than live dormant, that's how we on it. Live at the main event, I better trip them out, we on it. Presidential suites, my residential for the weekend. Confidentially speaking in code since I sent you beacon. The NXS rental, don't be fooled, my game is mental. We both out of town, dawg. What you trying to get into? Viva Las Vegas, see ya later at the crap tables. Meet me by the one that starts a G up. This way no fraud, Willie's present, gambling they re up. And we can have a pleasant time sipping margaritas, GGG. Yeah.
Can I live? Can I live?
My mind is infested
With sick thoughts that circle like a Lexus. If driven wrong, it's sure to hurt you. Do level like duplexes. And unity, my crew and me commit atrocities like we got immunity. You guessed it, manifested intangible goods. Platinum Rolexed it. We don't lease, we buy the whole car, as you should. My confederation, detonation, explode on detonation. Overload the mind of the said patient. When it boils the steam, it comes to it. We all fiends gotta do it. Even righteous minds go through this. True this, the street school us to spend our money foolish. Bond with jewelers and watch for intruders. I stepped it up another level, meditated like a Buddhist. Recruited lieutenants with ludicrous dreams of getting cream. Let's do this. It gets tedious, so I keep one eye open like CBS. You see me stressed, right? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live?
Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I